Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Support WrestleTalk!
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
Hello and welcome to the Wrestle Ramble Podcast. I am Ollie Davis and I'm joined by Luke Owens.
Hello, Swaff Nation, and a hello to you, Oliver Bloody Davis. How was your weekend?
It was good. I did the poetry reading.
Well, on that, Russell Abercrombie emailed in to say, "Afternoon, fellas. I listened to the Saturday podcast this morning and ended up in tears laughing at Ollie's Poetry Corner submission. Can we please make this a new segment where Ollie reads out a list of ridiculous things? There's only so many porn titles after all," in his serious presenter voice. On the same topic, have you read John Ronson's series The Butterfly Effect about Pornhub and the decline in the porn industry?
Yeah, it's very good.
If not, it's a must listen. Yeah. It went down well. We got a couple of tweets, people saying, like, crikey, that Ollie's poem, my wife thought it was very funny. Mm. How did it go down?
It went down well. I split it, like I said I would, into, like, I did the serious one in the first half of the show. There was an intermission, and then I came back on in the second half of the show. Mm-hmm. I was worried because we got there and, you know, people were filing in and I was like, that's a kid. And there was like an 8-year-old girl there. Everyone else was, you know, at least 20 and above. Mm-hmm. But then there was just this 8-year-old girl. And I was like, oh my God, have I misjudged this? Is this actually like quite a nice community space? And luckily she left after the intermission.
Phew. Yeah. What would you have done if she'd have stayed?
I would have... Well, I asked them... I asked the organizer what they thought, mm-hmm. and could they have a word? Because I'd be fine not to do it.
Yeah.
I'm not like really itching, mm-hmm. to read out all these porno titles.
Yeah.
It went down well.
Good.
I think a lot of people laughed. It was weird because when you're up there on stage, we experienced this at MediaCon, I think, a bit. It sounds like no one is reacting.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, totally.
And I watched back the recording of it, and actually a lot of people are laughing, so that made me feel good.
Yeah.
And a lot of people laughed at the punchline, which we found was could have been confusing.
Mm-hmm.
So that's good. But I couldn't hear those people laughing. All I could hear was the organizer of the event being confused at the punchline and being like, are you done? I was like, yeah, I'm done. That was the joke. And apparently that me saying that was the joke ruined it. Ruined it a bit in my girlfriend's eyes. Yeah, it was fun.
Yeah, good. Excellent.
Excellent.
We've got a quick email here from Zachary Reynolds, who says, Luke, Ollie, and Laurie, I just wanted to drop you a line to say thank you all so much for WrestleTalk and the Wrestle Ramble podcast. I previously listened to a different UK wrestling podcast that is also a popular YouTube channel, but came disencouraged because the hosts were so negative and vitriolic that I found I could no longer enjoy it.
Oh, no, don't say that, because this is quite a negative show.
Then I found your NXT Review podcast and was pleased to realise that you gentlemen keep a positive outlook on wrestling and are decently in touch with indie stuff as well. And then, lo and behold, did I discover that Luke and Laurie were also gaming enthusiasts. This is wonderful because in my friends group, I'm the odd man out and sole wrestling fan amongst the gamers and the sole tabletop fan amongst the wrestling buffs. We've got a question for myself and Laurie, which I'll save for the... NXT Review podcast. So thank you again, guys. You are my wrestling review podcast of choice. Keep up the great work. The three of you are doing a marvelous job. Keep up. Greetings from the US, Zach.
That's very kind of you. Thank you, Zach. I don't know if you've noticed this, Luke. I've got up iTunes.
Well, actually, I got a tweet over the weekend asking what happened to the Spoon updates.
Mm.
And I said I took over admin and I just kept forgetting to do it.
Plus, like, that's a lot on me as well. I would say.
Yeah?
Yeah. That's okay. Spoons were my update thing. I think I just got bored. That's where the spoon updates went.
We do like to run through gimmicks for a little while, but as soon as they run their course, we're just like, nah, we'll just quiet
we'll just
like,
drop
like,
it.
Like WWE, yeah, we'll just quietly drop them.
We can criticize them when they do it.
Yeah.
So I think we should start a new segment. It's called Help the Algorithm. Help the Algorithm.
Yeah.
So get like a rhythmic jingle for it, something rhythmy. Boom, chat.
Well, we've asked for jingles before, and no one's ever really sent anything in. Or if they have, it's just
good.
It's just them like saying the words. Basically, what you just did.
We got the really good Pooh Bear one.
Well, yes, I was. That's what I was hoping for. But what I mean is, people just going like, "Crab gimmicks," and I think we're looking for something a bit more than that. We're looking for like Buckle style. Adam Buxton style jingles. Nicholas Mazzola as well also emails in to say, I'm a huge pod swafter. I look forward to your podcast and YouTube videos. I loved your banter about movies, lady partners, and Dungeons and Dragons. The thing I love most is your honest and unbiased critique of the world of professional wrestling. You both have even turned me on to watching more New Japan TV.
Oh, that's good.
The question for this day is, should I cancel my WWE Network subscription? I mean, really, the only good pay-per-view they've had this year is War Games, and I've had a couple of good matches on Evolution. Can you give me your thoughts on this? Thank you for everything you do. Keep up the awesome work you do. And if they gave out stars for podcasts, you would get 5. Well, they do give out stars for podcasts. They're on the iTunes reviews, where you can give 5 stars. So thank you very much.
The algorithm.
So thank you very much, Nick, for emailing in. I would say no, don't cancel your network subscription. No. If you can afford to keep it on, you may as well, because you're always going to watch WWE pay-per-views. You're always going to be able to watch NXT. And so it's probably worth keeping that. Plus, next year, we're going to get those big changes. And there'll be more indie content added to it, so it's probably worth keeping hold for that as well.
And, you know, Swerved. They've got Swerved on there.
They don't do that anymore.
They've got Renee Young's series where she gets coffee with people.
Kathy
unfiltered.
Kathy Kelly's got a cookery show on there, I believe.
R-Truth seemed to have filmed a pilot so bad, it didn't even make it onto the wrestling WWE network as a game show.
Even Vince McMahon would not put that on, and he thinks that R-Truth is the funniest man on the planet.
Yeah, I take against what you said about WWE not having good pay-per-views this year. I think it feels that way.
Yeah.
But actually, you know, like every TakeOver has been amongst some of the best wrestling shows of all time.
Yeah.
Evolution was so much fun. TLC was really good. I love the men's Royal Rumble match this year. I think Royal Rumble was really good. WrestleMania is just crazy.
Yeah.
It's just absolutely insane.
It was bonkers.
Yeah. And, you know, there's been a few others. Like Survivor Series had some good matches on there. I always think that the WWE Network is well worth it just because of the archive content.
Absolutely, exactly.
If I don't have anything else to watch, I'm watching Attitude Era, Raw, or ECW.
Yeah.
That's like just my default. I've got a pizza, and I don't want to watch anything else viewing.
Yeah, and like it's... I think people can bemoan sort of the WWE Network and be like, ah, they're just putting out a crap product and things like that, but... Again, we bring this up, but they were putting out a crap of product in 2006. And we're currently reviewing December to Dismember, the ECW pay-per-view. And that was in a period where not only were they putting out a crap product, they were asking you to pay $40 for each pay-per-view that they put out. And they put out 3 in the space of 4 weeks. And they do that now, but you get it all for $10. Like, so really...
$9.99.
It's cheaper than Netflix or whatever it was that they kept saying. Oh, no, it's Netflix, but better. It was their catchphrase for a little while.
It's Netflix, but specifically neat. Like, ridiculously centered around one genre.
Yes. So, yeah, I would certainly say keep hold of it. Do you want to do an iTunes review, or do you want to save those for the outro?
I think I'd do so. Oh, I guess if we do them in the outro, that will sort of... People will hopefully go on to iTunes... After they finish this. Let's save it for the outro.
I'm also just going to tell people now, just go and give us a 5-star review on iTunes. It does help the algorithm, we think. Like, no one really knows how iTunes algorithms works. I don't even think iTunes knows how their algorithms work. Because
Steve Jobs took the secret with him to the grave.
Well, as we have found out through our connections, there's only one person that runs the podcast side of iTunes because...
In Europe.
Yes, in Europe, because it's a...
They've got 2 people in the States.
Because it's an Apple product that doesn't make any money. So they don't want to invest any money in it, which makes sense as a business. That makes sense.
Or, like, they, I mean, they've surely got the means to create a, I mean, this is very inside baseball, but they could become YouTube for podcasts mm-hmm. quite easily, where the services that we use, like Acast, that dynamically serve ads onto the podcast. So when you get a podcast, it has those adverts in there. iTunes should just do that, and they can make all the money that way.
Yep.
But they haven't.
They decided that there was going to be a free platform, and then everyone got involved, and they were like, oh, now it's too late to make people pay to put up a podcast. Let's have a quick Rusev, well, James Henry calls this a Rusev maybe. So we'll find out how this goes. Hi, Luke, Ollie, and the latecomer, the fakest of fakadores. I have a Rusev maybe, maybe not. However, I want to share with you that I'm a rugby lad who has an almost secret identity as a wrestling fan. I don't watch the product anymore, just listen to the podcast religiously on my commute to work. Thank you very much for listening. Being an ex-semi-pro rugby player whose career was cut short by two separated discs in my spine... two separate discs in my spine popping 2 years ago with no way of recovery. You guys have helped me keep the secret life alive without having to enjoy the tedious 3 hours of Raw every single week. LOL. I work at a brewery and have the conversation turned into wrestling spontaneously when my colleague revealed that he was best friends with Piss Pants Drake Maverick himself all throughout school in Walsall. He showed me text between the two saying EC3 is going to get pushed to the main roster as soon as possible. So PW Insider were right on that one.
Yeah, but
then.
What about WrestleTalk sources?
Why, you should have emailed this. Well, we need him in the cinema, but I would have emailed this with, like, urgent, this is your, you know, breaking news. I was shocked that he has childhood photos of the two of them, and however shameful have kept up the secret identity through WrestleTalk, and it would not go down well between my rugby friends. We drank beer and... Yeah, I won't read out that last bit. Basically, he did rugby. You know, like rugby societies at university when they used to do sort of their hazing style things that I really, really do not agree with, and sort of forcing people to do things that I don't think they might be comfortable with. He sort of details that a little bit. I just want to reach you out. You have such an audience that your content is much better than WWE. I've cancelled my subscription and intend to spend my tenner on being a pledge hammer, so I'd rather listen to Royal Rumble 2000 than watch WrestleMania 2019. Make of that what you will. You guys have helped me through my gambling issues, though. Get better without having to email that in. Cheers, guys. James. Well, thank you very much for your email, and I'm glad we can help you out in some way. Glad we can entertain you on your commute to work.
For the previous person who was talking about cancelling their network subscription, if that would allow you to donate on Patreon to us, then I take back everything I said. Do that.
All right, okay, so we are going to get on with the rest of the show, but we've got a bit of a special treat in the outro. Not only is Ollie Davis going to read out some iTunes reviews, we've been sent a present... that we have to open before the Christmas show, apparently. So we're going to dive into that. But first, we're going to be talking about this, quote, new era of WWE. Will things change? What's changed? Let's find out. Here's the show.
Which was opened by the return of Vince McMahon last night. God, first time he's been on TV since...
I think Raw 25?
No. He's been on before then, I'm sure of it.
What, he's been on, you mean he's been on since then?
Yeah,
because he's been on TV well before Raw 25 as well.
Yeah.
A lot before. You know, I'd say a handful of times.
Okay, Ollie hilariously misspoke. Let's make fun of this guy. Let's make fun of Vince, because he came out with this was once upon a time cocky heel dancing, but I just felt like his heart wasn't in it. You know, when you can tell where people. Like, even if you're a professional and your heart not's in it, it kind of seeps through. When he came out and he was doing this awkward granddad dancing...
Theresa May.
Yeah, it just didn't connect with me in the usual way. And usually I love seeing Vince, and it was a thrill to see Vince on this show.
I thought it was remarkable in that, as a wrestling fan base, we have been... I'd say for the majority of 2018, bemoaning the McMahons, bemoaning Vince. He's out of touch. He's this, he's that. Can't wait to see him step down. You see all these sort of toxic fans being like, he's the worst. I can't wait till the XFL kicks off and he leaves. As soon as that music hits, everyone is on their feet, singing along, going like, hey, Vince is here, doing the bowing and everything. I'm like, you, Daniel Bryan's right. Fickle, fickle. Fickle.
I know.
I was fully expecting that to happen.
Yeah, I don't think that's bewildering at all.
Nope.
I would be the same. Because it's like, Yeah, sure, it's hypocritical, but we're all hypocrites.
Totally.
And to see a Vince McMahon entrance, he hasn't got many. You know, like, The Undertaker should never wrestle again. I believe that. But if The Undertaker does an entrance, I'm going to enjoy it a lot.
Yes, rewarding is the wrong word to use. But this was... So the report is that Vince did not want to return as an on-screen character, as well WrestleVotes are reporting, which is kind of in line with the reports that have been around for sort of several years now, which is that Vince is done being on TV. He's had enough. He doesn't really want to do it anymore. He just wants to sit behind his little desk and direct the show and just be the head of creative. And he doesn't want to be, you know, the responsibility of also being an on-screen character. But when ratings are in a slump, when ratings are bad... They just card him out because he's a proven ratings draw.
Mm.
And you just wheel him out there again to be like, do the dance and we'll pop a rating.
Yeah, and that's what happened here. But it wasn't just it wasn't just an empty return that didn't mean anything. Because the idea was that Vince was going to announce a shakeup. That was the exact tweet. He's going to shake things up. And of course that brings... memories of the superstar shakeup, which is what WWE call the draft these days.
Mm-hmm.
And with all that, and when Vince came out, he said, you know, I've been doing this 25 years, and one of the reasons Raw has lasted that long is because we change with the times.
Yep, they always change with the times.
Standing in front of a set that has not changed since 2008.
Yep.
The LCD
is that really
set,
like
that is I went back and researched
Whoa.
It because it was a joke that got cut from my news.
Oh yeah,
it's either 2008 or 2011, but I like the one that makes it seem worse.
Yeah, totally.
And yeah, he says that, and he says I can't do it by myself anymore, so let me bring out some people.
Yeah,
and I was genuinely curious about who this was going to be. I can't believe I didn't see this coming. It's Stephanie, it's Triple H, and it's Shane McMahon.
Yeah. Vince McMahon is... There's a reason why he's the greatest promoter in the world of wrestling. Like, he's the biggest genius this industry has ever seen.
Can we say the most successful guy?
No. I'm going to say he's a genius.
Okay.
I'm going to call him a genius in this segment in particular. Because, really, the reason why WWE has been bad... for a lot of this year, I'm not going to say all of this year, because actually I think there's been portions of this year that have been very, very good.
Mm.
But let's say for the sake of argument, the Survivor Series up until TLC were very, very bad. And ratings were plummeting, this, that, and the other. The reason behind that is Vince McMahon, right? Like, he's the guy who oversees everything. He's the guy that signs off on everything. Everything that is bad on the show, Vince has been signing off on it. And yet here he comes out, and it's not just Vince, Steph's there as well, and Triple H and Shane, they're all sort of involved in this creative side of thing. They're all signing it off as well as the upper echelon. And these four come out and go like, Baron Corbin's rubbish any. It's all Baron Corbin's fault. And we, as fans, will go, yeah, Baron was bad, wasn't he? And it all was his fault. And the crowd bought into it, and they lapped it all up, and they booed Baron Corbin for him being bad. Stephanie's just like, they're booing you because you made Raw rubbish.
I don't think so. I think you're confusing. Well, I'm here just to have a good time. I'm gonna, because it was a lively crowd, same town as TLC was the previous night, and the McMahons did every trick in the book to get the crowd to boo Baron Corbin. Triple H kept on saying, "Oh, come on! If you boo him, you won't be able to hear Baron speak." And what happens is all those four out there, Baron Corbin comes out, and then they go to an ad break. And they come back. And apparently in that ad break was just Baron Corbin getting heat from the crowd. So I don't think everyone's bought into this idea that it's actually Baron Corbin.
I think not everyone in the arena, maybe they were playing along with it.
I think they just played along.
But I'm sticking to my guns. He's an absolute genius.
No.
He drew all the heat away from himself.
It didn't work. I don't think anyone...
It did work.
Did it?
No one in the arena like booed Baron Corbin.
You surveyed every single person.
I did, actually.
Yeah,
yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Well,
I've got all of the evidence to prove as much.
I certainly didn't buy into it.
Absolutely not.
I haven't read a single review that bought into it. And I do think the people there were just up for a good time and they played along with it. But before Baron came out, Stephanie, like this whole idea that Stephanie and Triple H and Shane McMahon other people to take over from Vince. Like, that's what it was like, this, you know, I'm going to step aside or at least have these people working with me now. It's like, what? But not even like as a backstage thing. On your product, in kayfabe, They've been in control of these shows for the last 2 years.
But that's what I mean. This is what I'm talking about, how good Vince McMahon is as a promoter and as a storyteller, to essentially just make us
all... But it's a bad story.
I know, but it's not like the crowd went, this is a bad story and we should all just like turn on this. They all went, this is great. We're going to have a good time with this. He could, like, and I think he could have done this in any town and he would have got the same reaction, because they're very good at manipulating the crowd into reacting the way they want them to react.
But I don't think that's a long-lasting thing. Like, as soon as they walk out and watch next week, they're going to be like, nah, it's still crap. Let's not keep going over this point, because we're not getting anywhere on that. You think that the live crowd means something in their reactions here. I don't. But what the changes that they teased, Triple H said that Stephanie admitted they've been letting down their audience. And now we're going to be the authority, us as fans. And Hunter promises new faces and changes. It was just a promo that sounded so much like a press release. It was all PR. It was corporate speak. I made the joke in my news that, you know, us as investors are now the authority. I mean, sorry, fans. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, like Q4 was a really bad month for creative. I mean, sorry, the last few weeks of TV were bad for creative. Nothing of this came off as genuine, and there's like a track record of this. This is almost a biannual event where Shane, we talked about it in yesterday's TLC, Shane McMahon came back in 2016 and said the same thing. Said, you know, you've let ratings slide. Stephanie, you've dominated, you've suffocated. That was another word they used. What's your roster? And now I'm here to make a change. And yeah, they did the brand split, but nothing really changed.
No, and nothing will change next week. In fact, we know nothing changes next week, and we'll have to wait and see until the new year what really comes of the... Because, okay, so are the McMahons going to be on every show now? Like, are they now just all four of them going to be across every show as on-screen characters doing the backstage segments? If so, what's the need for Paige on SmackDown? I guess we'll find out more on SmackDown tonight, whether or not we see...
Will we?
Well, we might do, because if we don't see any of them, like if we just see Shane, then maybe Raw's its own little separate entity where all four of them are on, but SmackDown just has Shane and Paige.
That was the other thing, that Shane was out there and Shane also apologised, and like for SmackDown, and I was like, but we don't love it every week, but you know, you're one of the more celebrated shows of WWE. Why are you? I just thought it all rang hollow. And I, because of past experience, you know, like fool me once, WWE, shame on you. Fool me 14 times.
Yep, we'll still
shame
be here.
On us.
I liked it when Triple H and Shane hugged. Like Survivor Series last year meant nothing.
And weren't Stephanie and Shane meant to be in this really tense?
That's the whole
negotiation
point of the brand
about Lars Sullivan lurking.
Well, that was the whole point of the brand split as well. Is that Shane and Stephanie are supposed to be at war with each other, but they only bring that up when Survivor Series rolls around, I guess. Mm. And then they never bother to mention it ever again. And then they're just here hugging and they're all on the same page. And yeah, it is. I thought that this whole opening thing felt like pandering. But especially when Triple H were like, you are pointing to the audience, you're the authority figure now. And I was like, get lost. Like, yeah. I don't really buy into that at all.
It was very empty pandering. Mm-hmm. And it, like, if they did that segment and then the rest of the show was completely different, we would be talking about this in a much more positive way. But this episode of Raw, there was nothing to differentiate it from the last few weeks of crap TV we've had.
Nope.
The only thing, like, where they've made an effort, which seems like it was hastily thrown together anyway, were these NXT advertised call-ups.
Yes.
Which they, like, halfway through the show, they say coming on their way to WWE.
Yeah.
Which is just like bless them.
Branding.
Oh, they're coming up. They really earned their way.
It was just missing the little TM next to it.
Yeah. And they ran, like, Michael Cole introduces this segment as, here's all the things that are going to drastically shake up WWE, Raw and SmackDown. And they do video packages, back-to-back video packages, which weren't like even that impressive video packages.
No.
It seems like they were just put together at the last moment and were just, let's just do it all in the same segment and we won't have interviews or anything. It will just be back to back.
And if you're a wrestling fan, if you're a WWE fan that's been watching this product this year and you've seen what has happened to the NXT call-ups in 2018, why on earth would you be excited that Lacey Evans is coming up to TV now, or Heavy Machine or anything like that? You can't be like, well, that's going to make me tune in next week. Well, I mean, do you want to talk about the call-ups now?
Yeah, we'll do it now. So we've got Lars Sullivan, which has been announced for a month.
Yep.
So that's like, I don't really count that.
I'm not counting it either.
We've got Nikki Cross, who has already debuted, really.
She's been on the SmackDown touring team for the last year, basically.
Yeah, she did like a surprise challenge for Becky Lynch on the November UK shows for SmackDown. And then, like you said, Lacey Evans, who I've written down as Lacey Sullivan, and even had to re-record that bit in the news. I was like, that's... They wouldn't have called them both that, right? Heavy Machinery, which they're awesome, but they're one of those acts that can be protected in NXT. I think they're still probably a bit green, but I fear that is going to be completely... They're going to be mishandled on the main roster. And I don't think that's me being cynical. I think that's me looking at what's happened for the last 3 years.
They'll be the Ascension.
Yeah.
Like, come March, they'll be the Ascension.
Or I was thinking more Enzo and Cass, where they just, like, level out, because they have got a lot of charisma, and then they just break them up.
Yeah.
And the...
Although that does mean then Otis can become WWE champion, which, as we all know, is the main goal of this company, right?
And if that's what the new era ends up being...
All for it. I've said it in the NXT review. If Otis Dozovich is not WWE champion at some point, this company hasn't a clue.
And the last one is EC3.
Yes, who was reportedly, according to PW Insider, he was going to be called up after SummerSlam, but the concussion that he suffered during the Velveteen Dream Takeover match scuppered all of those plans. And that's probably quite clear from watching NXT, because he's not done a lot since. Like, he's been sort of in a feud with Undisputed Era, but it was also, like, very much in the background because they had War Games to deal with, and now they're sort of picking that back up again. And clearly, it's not going to go anywhere, because now we know he's going up to the main roster.
Yeah, so EC3 is a guy who I think should have just gone straight to the main roster.
He didn't need to go to NXT.
Because a lot of guys don't need to go to developmental, but their style fits the indie scene that they're trying to, you know,
replicate.
Destroy. So replicate, yeah, whatever, potato, potato. But EC3, fantastic look, fantastic promos, just fine wrestler. And for NXT, you can't be just fine. But you can on the main roster, where looks and promo abilities get you a lot further.
And you've got to worry as well about the character he's presenting, that they're going to present him as a bit of a comedy goof, because his video package was him in a suit, then undressing, with a lot of focus on him pulling down his trousers to reveal his butt. In pants, obviously. But at the same time, I just saw that. I was like, uh-oh, comedy goof, I guess.
Yeah.
Not that that's the worst thing. You know,
no, he's very good.
He's a very funny guy. He always wanted to do comedy. He always did comedy anyway. So maybe it can work. But, like, I mean, we were talking about this in the office earlier. These call-ups just say to me, what WWE fans like is NXT. So to placate those fans, we're going to give you NXT call-ups. But we don't want to give you any of our top guys, because we still need them to sell tickets to the NXT live events that we're not really selling a great deal of tickets for anyway. So we can't give you a Matt Riddle, we can't give you Keith Lee, we can't give you the Undisputed Era, we can't give you Ricochet, can't give you Aleister Black, Johnny Gargano, Tommaso Ciampa, basically all of, like, the top group of guys and girls, Shayna Baszler, I mean, this and the other.
Pete Dunne, Tyler Bate.
Exactly, all of, like, the people that really, really, the NXT that really, really get into, we can't give you any of those, but we can give you some of our main, our mid-card cast-offs that we're not really doing anything with, and we have no big plans for. Hence why we're getting Heavy Machinery. Hence why we're getting EC3. Hence why we're getting Lacey Evans. They're not, like, these aren't people you're going to sell tickets off the back of, but they'll probably be, they're good fodder for the main roster, and as a way to be like, hey, we're giving you NXT call-ups. We're giving you what you want, right?
Yeah, and you just look at these, you've got the track record of this year of NXT call-ups, none of which have done any good at all. Drew McIntyre's more of a return, I would argue, and he has been handled very well. But these six aren't even in my top 15. I would bring up.
Heavy Machinery would, just because I think Otis Dozovich is great. But, again,
then you want to see him have a proper run in NXT first.
I was about to say, but they need, like, another year or so. Lacey Evans needs, like, so much more time, I'd say, in developmental. Like, she's got a good character. But, like, I've never watched a Lacey Evans match and be like, God, she's brilliant. God, she needs to go up to the main roster.
So that is that's the most immediate change. No, none of these people debuted on the show. Spoiler for next week's episode. It's pre-taped. Good God. Imagine being there live. You watch this three-hour show and you have another three-hour show right after of Raw in the live arena, because that's what they're going to use for the Christmas Day episode, Christmas Eve episode, yeah. next Monday. So we already know the results. There's no McMahons on it, and there's none of these NXT call-ups. The next episode after that is New Year's Eve, so that's going to be live, I think, but I can't see them doing anything big on a holiday episode. So all of these changes, nothing's going to happen until 2-3 weeks' time, in which case, why announce it?
Further to my point of Vince McMahon's a genius, don't put the McMahons on the episode that no one's going to watch, because then when they return and a rating bumps up again, hey guys, look, a proven ratings draw.
I don't know why you're belaboring this point.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
A lot can happen in 3 years, like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage that lasts nearly 3 years in some states. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High-quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more, with Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to Quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
It's the part of the show where we give a shout out to all our $25 or above Patreons, the Pledge Hammers on WrestleTalk's Patreon page. Thank you all so much. You are our favourite.
Absolutely.
Fans.
They're the best ones.
If you want to be part of the SWAF Nation that gives us money, just head over to the Patreon page. We're going to have a review of December to Dismember. I said it right for once.
You did.
The pay-per-view that sunk the ECW relaunch and, you know, got Paul Heyman fired effectively the very next day.
It's arguably the worst pay-per-view WWE have ever produced.
Yeah, as bad as this episode of Raw, or like as disappointing as this episode of Raw was, and people go, oh, Raw's the worst ever.
No.
And we've got a Patreon podcast exclusive to it to tell you why. But that's going up this Friday, so you want to go over there and donate for that. So thank you very much, Paulie Dangerously Jarman.
Yes, Paul. Yes. Lovely stuff. The $100 man, C.D. Horville.
Whoa, yes. He's a cheap pops, by the way. The mayor of Painesville. The real Dan's Dan. Always the bridesmaid, but actually quite frequently recently, the bride, Dan.
Dan, good work, Dan. Thank you very much for your care package. We're going to open that up on the Christmas episode we're going to record on Thursday. The craftsman, Blake Carpenter.
Builder something.
Builder stuff.
The event known as Chris Anderson to decide the best in the world.
Chris Anderson, man. Good
you
work,
my
man.
Trophy.
Adam and the Anthony Bergeron.
Prince Charming.
That's a bit of an update as well. Wrestle Tyke Andy Datson has cancelled his patronage. It was officially revealed today.
So we're going to have words. Asuka's future husband, an EOF one-man wrecking crew skin trade.
Yeah!
Not as nasty a name as it sounds. He explained it to us.
And now I get to do this one. You'll never get this name right, you idiots. Matthew Szymanczewski.
Sure.
That's a great name.
I'm very bad at this.
Brett the Hitman Matthew Williams.
Hey, lovely stuff. Killer Chris Phillips.
Yes.
Infinite Crisis. Chris Jenkins.
Hammerman. Hammer Time.
His name is Hammers.
I want to be like you. Chris Louis. Yes.
Well, we're doing a lot of them in a row. Christopher the Condor Johnson.
Oh, that's right.
Fly away.
Let's have a drink. Christopher Travis Merriman. We will on Thursday.
It's on you.
It's our Christmas party.
Courtney Villainous Havoc Summers. She's one of our longest ever running patrons. Thank you so much.
Great. ... Dive. Dylan Cachetta.
I missed out a ... dive joke over the weekend.
Oh,
I'm annoyed about that. They drew first blood, not me. Grace Rambo.
Such an old movie reference.
Grace Rambo is just a great name.
It really is. Steep Climb James Macca Hill.
It's a hill thing.
It's a hill one.
You sold out, Jay Sellers.
Oh, no, you
didn't. Buy in.
You bought in. Jonathan, the Headmaster Headman.
Don't worry, guys, we're nearly at the end.
Yeah.
Juan de Dios, Infinite Gauntlet.
That's right, yes. The dubbed version. And finally, for this episode, stay hyped, Kyle Rowley. Rowley, yes, lovely stuff.
We had to do a last pop.
So we're going to have more of these $25 and above shout outs con the SmackDown review and the NXT review on Thursday.
As part of that opening segment with all the McMahons, by law and actual children, they had Baron Corbin come out. We already spoke about that. And it was the McMahons going, ha ha ha, well, you can have your Raw GM spot if you beat the next person in this match.
My favourite feedback I've seen to this segment so far is everyone going, like, it just made me feel really sorry for Baron.
Oh, really?
Yeah, because this was a guy who, like, I didn't see the point of this segment.
No.
Because we already had this at TLC.
Totally.
Almost this exact same segment, they just did it again.
Without Finn Balor. That is the only difference. and Braun Strowman.
I thought Finn was there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Maybe he was.
He could have been.
Just smiling behind, in the crowd. Yeah. Like a creepy face.
Yeah, because Triple H says to Baron Corbin, you can have, like, they have, the McMahons have this sort of huddle, and then Triple H says, Vince McMahon's, you know, a brilliant promoter, and he said that you can have your job if you beat this man. And it's Kurt Angle. So Kurt Angle comes out, and then they reveal that they go to the back, and then Stephanie says, oh, there's a special guest referee. And the special guest referee is Heath Slater, the man who had a 7-day-long storyline about
it was great, though.
It was good.
What a good storyline.
I just wish it had been given more time. They should have started earlier. That's all I'm saying. And then Slater comes out. I like Slater's reaction to all of this as well, because he's saying to all of them, right down the middle. I'm going to call this right down the middle. High-fiving, shaking hands with Vince, right down the middle. Very good. And then Michael Cole had my line of the night when Baron Corbin is about to have this match with Kurt Angle, with Heath Slater as a special guest referee, and Kurt Angle goes, Corbin may get his tonight. I was like, he got it last night, you div. This has already happened.
My favourite Michael Cole line was much later on in the show, where he introduced the recap of the opening segment with the McMahons. And he said, already, it was a couple of hours after that segment, now it's time to look back at that iconic segment. And I just wished so much pain on everyone. Yeah. But that's an awful thing to make me want, like,
yeah, totally,
to feel people.
Yeah, iconic.
So after that, they played this up for comedy, where Triple H would come out and say, oh, actually, it's a handicap match, and Gable and Rude come down along with Apollo Crews,
mm-hmm,
and I think that's everyone. And then Shane McMahon comes out after that. Oh, and it's a no DQ match, so they all just get chairs and start beating up Baron. Yeah, it's the crowd were chanting for tables, and they didn't use the tables to win. They just did the Olympic slam spot and pin. But then Gable and Rude had the wherewithal to go and get a table, bring it in, and then they put Baron through.
Well, you say they had
an Olympic slam.
You say they had the wherewithal. That's not what Michael Cole said. Michael Cole said, we're listening to the audience.
Right.
We're giving you table spots. Like the McMahons had decided that, hey, go out there and put him through a goddamn table.
Yeah. I didn't feel sorry for Baron. I kind of felt sorrier for me, because this was the exact same segment as TLC after a segment where you just promised change.
Yeah.
Like, do you not see how, like, instantly hypocritical that is? And it just makes me go, oh, okay. And it's not the craziest thing in the world, doing a very similar segment to what you did before. But with all the goodwill you need to restore in me, just do something different for your next one. Just start new storylines. But this one just set the whole show up for it's exactly the same as every other bad week we've had for the last couple of months, with the same storylines and the same feuds.
You say that, though, but the crowd loved it.
The crowd, let's write off the crowd.
Wait, you can't choose when you pick, I just did. When you want to reference the crowd reacting to something and when you don't.
When
the crowd
they don't agree with me, they are idiot crowd. idiot crowd.
The crowd loved it. The crowd loved this segment. It was probably part of the loudest they were all night.
Yep. So that Baron Corbin lost.
He did, so he had a bad night, poor old Baron Corbin.
It's his fault.
He's had a dreadful 24 hours.
Who thought that Baron could top his SummerSlam failed Money in the Bank cash-in from last year?
Yeah.
By just being kayfabe bad this year.
Oh, yeah, well, it's all his fault. Mm. Every single thing that's been bad with WWE this year is all Baron Corbin's fault.
Following up that repetitive segment for the new era with the changes, we got Finn Balor versus Dolph Ziggler. It was a fine match. Drew McIntyre came down at the end and beat them both up, making it a double DQ, so like a draw. And
change.
Yeah, it was just... why? I don't really care about seeing these three together anymore. I just want something new for Drew.
Yeah, I mean, I don't want to come across like I'm negative. Everyone said I was really negative in the show yesterday, despite the fact that I gave the show 4 out of 5. So somehow I was still really negative about TLC. But like, this just feels like it's a step down for Drew McIntyre.
Yeah.
Like, this really feels like we're moving him out of that possible main event picture into a mid-card feud.
Yeah, totally. Because he was like at the top. He was main eventing with that really... I really enjoyed the victory over Kurt Angle. And he's just been flattened out since.
Yeah. Remember, like, before Crown Jewel, he was saying, like, I should be in the... it should be a triple threat with me involved for the Universal Championship. Mm. And we were like, yeah, absolutely, it bloody should be. We were all saying he should be the champion. He should be the guy to take the belt. Mm. And here he is now in a mid-card feud that's going nowhere. And spoilers again for next week. He don't win that triple threat. Mm. And I guess because it's a holiday show, so the baby faces have to always win, which is fine, really. But he also gets beaten up after the match.
Yeah. So it's just, like, I get that these next 2 weeks are right off holiday period. We're almost out of continuity. But, man, it doesn't do anyone any favours when you're trying to build momentum for new stars. When you're trying to create this new era.
That's what I mean, yeah.
And then you immediately stall. Yeah. It's like my friend Richard Brown. He when he was 16 and he took his driving test for the second time, he stalled and then tried to go down the wrong way down a one-way street on turning out of the test centre.
Nice.
That's what WWE have done with this. They have immediately failed. Like, that driving instructor, he said, because it was an instant fail for this driving exam, and he said, shall we carry on? And the guy goes, well, it's good practice. That's what they're doing! Ugh.
Yep.
So after that, we got Dean Ambrose coming out, still doing his germaphobe gimmick, which is fine, I guess. I'm not into it at all. I think it's a good look. I know you say Del Boy, but I quite like the gas mask guys.
I mean, I'm only saying it's a joke. I think it actually looks quite good.
Yeah, and but he comes out and he tries to goad Seth Rollins out, and Seth isn't answering. So he issues an open challenge for the Intercontinental title that he won the previous night, answered by Tyler Breeze to a pop.
Decent's a strong word.
Yeah,
he got a reaction.
Relative reaction.
This
show,
yes.
He got a massive pop.
Well, he didn't get as big a pop as Baron Corbin getting put through a table.
No.
But we said, when Seth did the open challenge deal a couple of weeks ago, and it was answered by Dolph bloody Ziggler, we were like, why wasn't it someone like a Tyler Breeze? Just further proof that WWE watch this show and listen to the things that we say. When they're saying we're looking to what fans want, they're just talking about me and you, basically.
Yeah, yeah. Because and I keep trolling us.
Because I keep calling Vince McMahon a genius. And so Tyler came out here and he didn't really get this reaction. And I suddenly thought to myself, I was like, well, why would people give him a reaction? Because he's not done anything in 2018. He hasn't really done anything since the Fashion Files got taken off TV and moved to the WWE.com. And even then, I don't think they're doing anything with that now. So why would people react to it?
Yeah, totally. The it was that little pop, but the actual match was very quiet. No one bought into a single near fall.
And he hit his finishes.
Yeah.
He hit the beauty shot and the supermodel kick to no reaction whatsoever because the WWE audience don't know that those are his finishes. Corey Graves does because he put them over on commentary, but the crowd are just like, moves.
Mm. And Dean, you came back. We were so into you. You changed up your style as that sort of unhinged baby face when he came back and he was more of a brawler. Just don't change, like, keep that. Don't go to Rest Hold City, because that's what he did here again. It was like, grinding in the headlock.
Yes.
Let's work over the crowd and make them actively bored, because that worked out so well the previous night.
But Michael Cole did put over Tyler Breeze's match with Ricochet last week on NXT, so Ricochet got mentioned on WWE Raw.
Yes, that was before the NXT call-ups were revealed.
Yeah.
So that got me excited.
That Ricochet might get called up. Well, come on now. Come on, man.
I was up for a new era. They just promised me the freaking world in the opening segment.
Yeah.
And then they give me Lacey Evans. I didn't even know her last name. I thought she was called Lacey Sullivan until my Raw review and I double-checked it.
Yep.
Christ.
She does have a mean right hook, though.
Ambrose won.
Werman's rat.
Shock, shock. And then he continues to call out Seth. And, I bet you didn't see this coming. The gas mask. Three of the gas mask people line up on the ramp. But the other one gets in behind Dean and reveals it's Seth. Oh, my God. So, why don't you sort of interfere in the match then?
Because I guess he wants to win back his title.
Win back the title. I get that. But you can still, I think, with Dean.
I mean, you could have cost Dean the title and then had a match with Tyler, I guess.
Yeah, and a wounded Tyler. Yeah, I don't know.
And you're more likely to beat Tyler than you are Dean.
I just thought it was weird as Seth, who's trying to frame his new character as this locker room savior, just sort of stood there for his own personal gain while Tyler Breeze. Yeah. It's not like Dean Ambrose cheated, I guess. It's not like Seth. But that's, well, then make it that story.
Yeah.
Change is the same Seth and Dean feud, which we're all quite audibly bored with now.
Going by TLC, certainly. And then Charlie was backstage with Shane McMahon. He says the new faces will be seen on Raw and SmackDown. And Drake Maverick walks in with AOP and sort of introduces Shane to AOP. And he says he wants the tag team rematch for the belts, which they lost last week on Monday Night Raw. And Shane says, and I think this is, a lot of people are saying this online, but I don't know if this is official, because this is the other bloody thing with this new era. Nothing is like set in stone. They just sort of say things generally, and then we go like, so what does this mean? Like, are all the McMahons baby faces now? Is Stephanie a baby face? Are they all going to be on TV at the same? I don't know.
Is Shane a Raw? Like, why does he have authority on Raw?
Yeah.
He's the SmackDown commissioner.
And then, like, so I think the other thing they're doing away with is the automatic rematch clause.
Which would be a great thing to come out of this. I've been very vocal about how I think that just facilitates lazy booking. I do not think for a second that they're going to stick to this. I think the Monday after Royal Rumble. In fact, put this down. This is my first 2019 prediction, Luke. The night after the Royal Rumble, there is going to be one title rematch from the previous night's show.
I think you're probably on a safe bet for that one, which is why you can't have that, because it's got to be a wild and wacky prediction. It was funny, actually. I was thinking about our 2018 predictions, because I've gone back to listen to the episode so that I could jot them down to a document for us to do when we do the 2019 predictions. One of your 2018 predictions was Vince McMahon is going to step down from the WWE.
It was close.
And when he came out here, in my head, I suddenly thought, with like 2 weeks to go before the end of the year, Ollie is going to steal one of these.
I got excited, too. So Shane McMahon says, the specific phrase was the automatic rematch clause is antiquated.
Yes.
So that wasn't like I'm dropping it. I don't know what authority he would have to drop it.
Well, he's a McMahon.
Yeah, of course. And he has the power to book number one contenders matches, because that's what he did. AOP and Drake Maverick sort of push for a rematch, and he says, no, you're going to have a number one contenders match where you earn an opportunity.
Yeah.
Which is a SmackDown thing coming from a guy who put himself in the Best in the World tournament
in
the finals.
He earned that opportunity. He earned that opportunity and made SmackDown the A show by winning.
I said, before we came in here, I was like, you know what? This show didn't make me too angry. I just think it's stupid. And we can have a fun review of just looking at how stupid WWE... But I'm getting angry!
No, I'm still having fun.
You're just like Heavy Machinery. They just want to have fun.
They just want to have fun, like he does the worm or the caterpillar. My favourite thing about this is when Shane opened up this segment by saying, we're going to see new faces on Raw. And then he said, you're going to have a number one contendership match, a fatal four-way between the B-team, Revival. And I was like, and he's going to say a new name. Because he's just promised us at the start of the segment a new name. And then it was like, Lucha House Party. And I was like, oh, cool, so no new names then.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But at least Lucha House Party didn't have handicap... that they weren't like a three-man unit in
which
this match.
I guess was all Baron Corbin's doing.
So after that, actually, so that match is made. Then we get the On Their Way to WWE montage marathon.
Yeah, I'm so glad that Laurie and I did our NXT 2018 in review episode. I'm so glad we pre-recorded that yesterday, in which we spend a good 5 minutes talking about Nikki. Like, Nikki Cross needs to be called up to the main roster. I'm almost certain we talk about Lacey Evans in there as well and Heavy Machinery. Mm. Oh, dang it.
I mean, I'm still hopeful, eternal optimist, that when they debut these people, Undisputed Era just come out through the crowd and beat them all up. And we're like, no. And they do my superior fantasy booking idea.
You lost on.
We do not get call-ups. We take our call-ups.
You lost that one, right?
Yeah, well, you know, in the popular vote.
I was going to say.
The same fans that think Vince McMahon's a genius and cheer stupid angles that were on the previous night.
When people disagree. And we've got some video packages for them. And then then all the changes. Leo Rush introduced Bobby Lashley and they did some Your Local Sports Team, pointed at his butt. And Elias came out of nowhere and cracked him over the head with a guitar. Lashley no-sold it. Elias ran away.
Yeah.
Change. Corey Graves then said that Lashley played While My Biceps Gently Weep, which Michael Cole laughed at, and then said, those were his glutes. And I was like, that's not the point of the joke, Michael Cole, which makes me think he's never heard While My Guitar Gently Weeps.
No, that's his generation. he grew up as a 30-year-old man listening to that. That line I laughed at. I guffawed when he said that.
I did as well.
Corey does... make things salvageable sometimes. But this is, you know, this whole idea of change, they have been feuding in a heel face switching around dynamic since before SummerSlam.
Since WrestleMania.
Yeah, yeah.
Bobby Lashley debuted beating up Elias. I actually thought about this today because I was Googling images for the news episode and I Googled Bobby Lashley versus Elias and it just came up with Bobby Lashley beating Elias up as a babyface. And I was like, God, they've just been tied together all year long.
It's just like a joke. Like, fine, you just phone in an episode, it's the holiday period. But don't do that after you've spent 20 minutes in the opening segment saying how we're going to start listening to you and how everything's going to change. I'm saying the same thing over and over again.
My favourite thing about change is the McMahon's on TV again. Like, that's not change. That's what we've always had.
Mm. And it's not like they've been away for a long time. Stephanie pops out whenever she needs to make a corporate announcement.
Absolutely. Why is Bobby Lashley not upset that Baron Corbin's lost his job?
Yeah, you can't get rid of Shane. Drew and Bobby. Oh, who cares? But, you know, no honour among thieves, I guess you can say. Then we got a video package for Sami Zayn.
Yeah.
Returning soon. I thought he was out longer.
I thought he was out longer as well, but apparently not. Did you see his tweet that he put up?
I didn't. But the video package referred to him in quite just it made my skin crawl a little bit. The ruthless Sami Zayn.
Mm.
And I don't think he needs a little, the outlandish Rich Swann or the gentleman Jack Gallagher.
So Sami Zayn posted up on Twitter, during this time off, I've been working on becoming a better person and letting go of a lot of toxic elements that became egotism and ambition. But I watched the teaser for my return on Raw and remembered how good I am at pro wrestling. I actually forget how great I am.
Mm.
That is the Sami Zayn I want.
Yeah. Well, let's hope we get it. Because he's excellent.
Yeah.
It's just he was booked awfully this year.
Yeah.
Then we got the actual tag match to crown the new number one contenders. It was a thing. They did things.
AOP, the only ones to get an entrance. They just mentioned on commentary, Lucha House rules have been abolished.
Mm.
So that storyline was done for weeks on end with no payoff whatsoever.
Yeah, well, I don't know how you pay off the baby faces beating up the heels an unfair advantage every week.
You blame it on Baron Corbin.
Yeah, but they sort of had a net gain here for me for Lucha House Party, because I enjoyed the great spot where Kalisto gets onto Lince Dorado's shoulders and just does a splash onto somebody. That was really good. But then Grand Metalik's clacker thing. That was insanely annoying.
Oh, man, clackers are annoying. Tell me something I don't know.
Yeah.
Clackers have always been annoying.
I know, but has he always had that?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And it's massive as well. It's like a ginormous
clacker. He's quite short.
Oh, is that what it is? It's perspective. Mm. And the crowd 100% did not react to this. But again, why would the crowd react to this? You've spent all of 2018 presenting your tag team division as a joke. Mm. So why would anyone get invested in these four teams? So this is change. We are like starting a new era. We'll see how long the tag team thing lasts. But this is like, you've got to rebuild this tag team division because you've conditioned your audience to think none of these teams matter. So I'm just not going to bother cheering for them.
Yeah, so the Revival won, which sets up a match next week on the Christmas Eve episode against Gable and Rude, the champions. And, you know, like, that's a freaking NXT dream match right there. That could be an excellent feud with a series of matches. The Revival could get a heel win out of there, and the babyfaces could come back at the end. There's a six-month great program there that writes itself, really. But it's just going to be a holiday one-off title match.
Yes, pretty much.
So it's, and again, it's like, why, well, should I get invested possibly in this? Because the tag division, like you said, has been revamped like four times this year. AOP come in, the Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt are champions.
Drew and Dolph.
The freaking Shield, Seth and Dean. And every time you're like, oh, okay, here's where you're going to pull the trigger now. Here it is. The Revival get a little bit of a push. They're building up to something. No. Every time it's just been not followed up the next week.
So the report is that there is like a possible shoulder up during the match. So perhaps they are going to spin that off into more stories.
That's not a good story,
well,
though.
I know it's not. I didn't say it was a good one. I'm just saying that they might be doing something extra with it. But I don't know. But this really felt like a pandering win of like, we are listening to our fans. We know that you want to see the Revival get pushed. So we're going to give them a win. It's like when Zack Ryder got a push, but it wasn't really a push. Mm.
Yeah. Then we got the Seth Rollins promo after that, saying how Sunday night was the worst night of his life, lost the Intercontinental title to Ambrose, and he heard the crowd during the performance where they chanted, "This is boring."
Yeah, and chanted for Becky Lynch and said that, you know, hey man, it's my responsibility to entertain people, so you know, I'm sorry, I'm going to do better next year.
It's like Seth is trying to personify Raw here. It's like all the points were hit. We are listening to fans. I heard your chant. I'm going to do better. Just to keep that crap to the McMahons. Seth's one of the guys that you want to turn into a top babyface next year, as opposed to this flattened out. Remember how hot he was at the start of the year? It's making me angry. Then Ronda Rousey came
out. Oh, man, you want to talk about this segment. Yeah. This segment.
The whole thing?
Not the whole thing, just one point of this.
Okay, you go for it.
Well, so Ronda Rousey comes out, and like, she delivered on her promises from Sunday. She beat Nia Jax, she beat up Becky Lynch, she beat up Charlotte Flair. She did everything she set out to do. That wasn't a great promo from Ronda, in all fairness. And she was like, but I'm more than just a champion. I'm the champion should be the best of the best. She was kind of losing the crowd a little bit to Becky Chance, but she said, I'm now going to defend my championship in an open challenge. So it's our second open challenge of the night. Who's going to be the person to come out and fight me? And there's no reaction. And then it cuts backstage, and all of the women are at gorilla position, shouting for their music to be played. And he's like, oh, this is chaos.
God. I like that bit.
I was like, oh, man, this is chaos. Who could possibly restore order to this? Of course, it's Stephanie McMahon. And Stephanie McMahon comes in and she's like, hey, for God's sake, you guys, obviously I'm going to save this segment. And she brings them, what, she marches them all out onto stage to essentially go like, you are acting like children. I am going to look after you all. I'm gonna, just like she did when she brought in They did the NXT call-ups of Sasha Banks, Becky Lynch, and Charlotte Flair, and Stephanie was there going like, you're going to be in this team, and you're going to be in this team, acting like they're playthings that she's just playing with. And she did the exact same bloody thing here. This division cannot be taken seriously because Stephanie McMahon needs to be here to make sure that she knows that everything can run smoothly. And that's what she did, and she ordered this could be an 8-woman gauntlet.
Yeah.
I hated this.
Yeah, I mean, I didn't like it as... I didn't dislike it as much as you did. It was just lame. It was just lame,
so
really.
Lame.
And the whole, like, Stephanie was a babyface here, but wasn't... Didn't she have, like, a blood feud with Ronda?
Yeah, but she was just a babyface at the start of the show as well. I think she's now just a new babyface.
Stephanie changing between babyface and heel on one show is not anything new. But, yeah, she... I don't like her screen presence. Haven't for about a year now. Although, and she used to be so good at promos and getting heat. But yeah, so this turns into the 8-woman gauntlet match with... So Bayley eliminated Alicia Fox, and then she eliminated Dana Brooke. And then you're like, okay, maybe they're going all the way with Bayley. Maybe this is the new era. Women. Well, WWE love women now.
Hey, man, like they gave them like an hour pretty much for this gauntlet match. They took up the entire third hour of the show, really, and that's a good thing, right? Like that's sort of the thing that we've been asking for, so that I'm very much on board with. Not so much the Stephanie McMahon being like the child playing with her toys, not so much into that bit. But and you're right, I was like, I think they're gonna do something with Bayley here, because she was working through a knee injury, which she did a Seth Rollins and just stopped selling after a while, and she's selling her knee so much she went to the top rope to do a move. Come on, man.
But unfortunately, she only dispatched Fox and Brooke.
Oh, no. My favorite moment was in this Dana Brooke, though. This Dana Brooke match, though. Dana Brooke, such a tactician. Such a smart wrestler, Dana Brooke. Bayley is selling her leg, like her knee. Her knee is visibly injured. Her knee, she can't even stand. Dana tried to Irish whip her, and Bayley couldn't even stand up. She fell down, and Dana Brooke saw this and got a headlock in. I was like, work the leg, yeah. Dana. Come on, man. It's right there. Locking in a headlock. Come on.
Just panic. Headlock. Bayley, the next one out is Mickie James, and they have a pretty decent back and forth, but I guess Bayley's too tired, and Mickie James beats her. Because Bayley couldn't come up against Natalia, I suppose. Because you want it to be babyface heel.
But you got more people, yeah?
Yeah, yeah. But no.
I see what you're saying. You don't.
So Mickie wins here, and then Natalia comes out.
No.
It was Ember Moon.
Yeah.
So Ember Moon, they have a good back and forth.
Yeah, they did a face versus face with Moon and Natalia.
Yep, that's a good point. Eclipse from the top to win, and Natalia then comes out and beats
Ember Moon. And then we get a rematch from TLC of Natalia versus Ruby Riott.
So that's where I think that's where it got good with the Ember Moon Natalia stuff. Actually, to be fair, Moon and Mickie James. It's a shame Bayley had not the greatest caliber of wrestler to work with.
No, but she was getting a really good reaction from the crowd.
I think it's because people thought, ooh,
yes, people
maybe she'll go the distance.
They were more hot for Bayley than they were for, I'd say, most of the other stuff in this, apart from like the bank stuff towards the end. We should also mention as well, we got a video package after the Dana Brooke elimination, that Kevin Owens is also returning soon. Interesting that Zayn and Owens were separate video packages.
The word soon scares me, because that's 18 weeks it can be.
Yeah, yeah.
That are the most extraordinary Emelina stretch. So where were we after Ruby Riott was beaten by Natalia?
Yeah, Natalia beat Ruby Riott, and then it's boss time.
I thought Riott might win and then go on to face
We've
Ronda.
Been saying this in Super Showdown, man.
Yeah, but then Sasha Banks came out last in the Wonder Woman outfit.
So you know it's special.
Yep. And I thought, okay, surely now is when they're going to do something, right? Sasha Banks has come down last. Usually it's the heel who takes advantage of the person who's been in there for ages. I mean, really, that story would have worked better with her tag team partner, Bayley, who'd been in there from the start. But okay, it's Natalia. Not really into Natalia, but, you know, I think this is where Banks is going to... No, Natalia won. It was a good match.
Mm-hmm. It was good.
Especially this last bit. Banks and Natalia worked really well together. But who... The whole listening to the fans idea, the whole change idea, and you haven't delivered on that for the whole show, you really had to do something here that wasn't exactly the same as that. Like, that whole Natalia Ronda thing has been in the back works since Ronda came in, really.
Yeah. When Natty went over to Raw after the Superstar Shakeup.
Yeah, and you could say, oh, that's good long-term storytelling. Not really, because they just dropped it for a few months and now it's back again and no one is really into that story anyway. Like, imagine if Banks turned heel here.
Yeah.
Or if, oh, actually, there's one last person to come out for the gauntlet, Becky Lynch
comes
down.
I was fully expecting Becky to be number eight. I was fully expecting, because I, like you, I thought they've got to do something big at the end here. It can't just be Sasha Banks or whoever the hell is left on the roster.
Well, if it was Banks and she turned heel, I think that would have
worked. But I in my head, I was like, man, I bet you it's Becky Lynch. They've got to do something big. And then it was Banks, and I was like, okay, that's fine. I've got to listen to Boss Time. But and then they had a really good match. And yeah, like you, I was like, so you're just almost waiting for something to happen. And then, and I guess it doesn't really matter because the match is next week. Stephanie had a nice botch of a line when she said it was going to happen tonight.
Mm.
Because technically it was going to happen tonight.
Yeah.
But really on TV, it's happening next week. So, but it's, yeah, so it doesn't really matter because it pays off next week. And they have a match and it's not going to go anywhere further because nothing big's happening. So I guess it's fine, but... doesn't, again, why do the show of this is going to be the big load of change when you don't actually do anything that's going to affect change?
It's a big load of something.
Well, and it's interesting as well because I don't know if I wasn't surprised by this, I wouldn't say, but I thought I'd check the reaction on Twitter. I like to sort of check the reaction on Twitter after watching Raw, not just from like people I follow, but you know, just like you see at the side the trending topics, you sort of click into those and see what some of the other people are thinking about it. Some are like, you know, the sort of fans you see on the ticker tape throughout, which they brought back.
Joe Schmo,
exactly.
Average fan, yeah.
And the it turns out that the general consensus is that Sasha Banks is the greatest women's wrestler in WWE and possibly
really
on the
good
planet. She is really good. But I was like, I mean, is she really the best wrestler in WWE?
I mean, it's someone who watches WWE exclusively might think that.
But even so, if you're watching exclusively WWE, would you say that, Sasha
like
Banks
after
is...
the last year... No. Like, she's not even
excellent
from a kayfabe.
And she's like excellent as well. Yeah. Like, she's so good. But I don't think she's had a great year.
But it's just, you know, we're listening to fans. Who wants Natalia to... Like, who's behind Natalia? Like Natalia.
Yeah.
But I don't really care about her in a character getting a title shot. I don't think I've ever been invested in a Natalia feud or storyline. Sure, I'm like... because she's got like the Heart Legacy and she is a very, very good wrestler. It's just, she's lacking something that connects with me and I think a lot of other people.
Well, we'll find out because I guarantee there'll be some comments to be like, oh, I've always been there. It's like when you start saying bad things about Alicia Fox being a bad wrestler and all of a sudden all these Alicia Fox fans came out being like, no, she's a pioneer.
She's a legend.
Or, as I discovered in TLC yesterday, people love Renee Young on commentary.
Oh, wow, really?
Oh, yeah, there's a lot of people like, why do you hate Renee Young on commentary so much?
Yeah, she's bad. So that's it. That's the big change, that nothing has changed.
Yeah, and they announced next week that it's, which you're going to see in the Christmas Eve episode if anyone watches it, it's Finn Balor versus Drew versus Dolph, Elias versus Bobby Lashley in a Miracle on 34th Street fight. Paul Heyman will be there to talk about the Universal Championship and mega main event of Seth Rollins versus Baron Corbin. Change. And we're getting Ronda versus Natty as well.
So they announced all that right at the end of the show with a few graphics and a little ticker at the bottom. And I was like, okay, well, you know, this didn't, the era didn't change much. Nothing's really changed. But that shows a bit of forward planning. They're billing something that's going to happen next week. They're building stuff. Maybe they'll start doing long-term booking now and promoting matches ahead of time. No, it was because it was happening literally right after the show.
And they'd already written it.
In the live taping. And Vince McMahon couldn't change it anymore. Yeah. So they're like, yeah, we can actually promote these ones because they're actually going to happen in 10 minutes' time.
When Natalia won... and Ronda came out and they posed on the stage.
Oh, yeah, she did that, didn't she?
I thought to myself, God, I wonder what the main event of this show's going to be.
It
just ended, and I was like, oh, okay, the show's over then. I guess I can go about my business. I'll start prepping the news, I guess.
If you just move the McMahon segment to the end and just say, oh, yeah, all that stuff, we're not going to do that anymore. But it's going to start in the new year.
Yeah.
So... Enjoy it. Happy Christmas, guys. See you in 2019. Like, that would have been a much better way, but because they set up everyone's expectations at the start. And some people say, sometimes your problem is that you get too far into the fantasy booking thing. And you decide what you want to see and then get annoyed when you don't see it. And that's, you know, that's a valid criticism of me. I think a lot of the more passionate fan base who just want something good.
God, you're so bad, you want something better at wrestling.
I don't think that criticism holds water here, because they specifically promised that at the start of the show for a long period of time with all the company's top officials.
Yep.
So, yes.
Yeah. Change is a 20-minute McMahon promo at the start of a show. So we're going back to 2006, I guess. Come back to any period of WWE, really.
I gave it 2 out of 5.
Yeah, I suppose that's fair enough. I didn't actively hate the show. I hated the Stephanie McMahon thing, but that was about the only thing that I actively hated on the show. I thought everything was broadly fine.
Yeah.
And it was laughably silly.
The only annoying thing is that they promised us something else.
Well,
before you get on to that Christmas present, I was going to say, you got a birthday present. How was your weekend?
Oh, well, thank you for asking.
With your experience.
So, I went to a gin distillery down Portobello Road, where my wife took me to. And it was like a 4-hour deal. And you go down into this. They kind of like recreate what gin palaces would have looked like in the 1800s. A bit swankier, because they had tables and chairs, which they didn't really have in their gin palaces in the 1800s.
Famously, tables weren't invented until 1938.
Well, no, they were called announcer's desks. And then they changed that so that people could stop being put through them and counting as tables.
Yeah, first invented in Germany as the German announce desk.
Yep.
It was in the Gothic era, so it would have been about 14th.
I always said it was the
really
Spanish
elaborately
announce
decorated.
Table.
Yep, Spanish. It's disputed.
But famous for breaking. That was the deal with. I suppose it's probably why the Germans are taking it now.
Yeah, the better engineering.
Yes, absolutely. But yes, we went to this gin distillery and we went down into this little sort of gin palace recreation, and we had three different. We had a gin cocktail. We had a Tom Collins, which was excellent, at 11 a.m. And then two...
It's like sponsoring the show, isn't it?
And two G&Ts. While we got given a history of gin for about an hour, which is good because we had three drinks to get through. And it was fascinating. Oh, it was brilliant. Like, the history of gin is genuinely fascinating. I turned to my wife at one point. I was like, I want to get a book on the history of gin. I want to read more about this. Loved it. Absolutely brilliant. And then we went through into the actual sort of gin tasting rooms.
Can you give us the fact? I really like the fact. I've told it to two people since.
Have you really?
Yeah, I think it's a good fact.
So basically gin was, it was for the rich people. Because you had to have sort of, there were certain laws in place, there were certain parliamentary laws in place that meant that you had to be of a certain stature in order to be able to distill gin and then sell it on. And then when William of Orange became king, he said, no, gin should be for everyone. So he amended parliamentary laws that any Tom, Dick and Harry could make gin. And that's when you started getting people making gin in bathtubs and in their living rooms and things like that. And that's when gin became a really popular drink, because it was cheap to make and it was very cheap to buy. And in very horrible times in the 1800s, when you were poor, you would essentially just work to buy gin. And the fact, I think they were given, it was something like, I can't remember the amount of gallons that we were drinking sort of like per person, but it was so much more like ridiculous, like almost like 5-6 times the amount that we drink now, and you consider how much the population has like grown since the 1800s. And do you know the drawing Gin Street?
Well, I was saying, I remembered Hogarth, who's the political cartoonist from that era.
Yes.
Is that by him?
Yes.
Yeah, so he famously depicted all of these really drunken people. He's such a good cartoonist. But it was like a freaking epidemic.
Yes, it was.
Gin back then. It was like heroin.
Yeah.
And people were dying. It's called Mother's... There's a bar called Us, a gin bar called Mother's Ruin.
Mm.
And that's because gin is also known over here as Mother's Ruin, because so many mums would just like leave their babies to drink gin, and the babies would die and then they'd die.
Yep.
And they were, imagine that. And it's they like were WKD these days.
And they were giving babies gin because as a way to sort of like make them go to sleep and things like that. Unfortunately, some of them went to sleep forever. Mm. And you know, kids would bunk off school or not go to school or go to learn just to, and they would just go and drink gin as well. And it became like a real epidemic across. And so, but in the end, it became sort of like such a problem that gin distilleries, like the names they had for them as well. I wish I could remember some of them, but they were like the knock me down quick. Like, that's what the gin was called, because it was just a way to buy it in short amount and get as drunk as quickly as possible. And people were selling their bodies to earn money so they could drink more gin, so they could just stay drunk the entire time. It's an awful, awful period.
It shows how bad society was. Oh, like, that's mate. Industrial Revolution time.
Yeah.
And the workhouses and slum landlords. It's so bad that people would just... That's like the first drug epidemic.
Yeah.
And it's alcohol. Yeah. Like, I get that from Asda.
And, but in the end, gin distilleries just started doing water and then trying to recreate the flavors of gin. So they would like try to create the burning sensation that you get from drinking gin. So they would just put acid into the water so that when you drank the water, you got the burning sensation. With not realizing the fact that that'll do you irreparable harm.
That's got to be like top 10 worst ideas ever.
Well, no, up with that as well is that they looked at like what the ingredients were for, and they mistook ethanol, which is the spirit in which makes you drunk, makes you merry, makes you feel lightheaded but queasy in the stomach and makes you drunk. They confused that with methanol, which makes you dead.
Yeah.
And they just put methanol into the water and gave it to people, and people just died or went blind from it, which is where the term blind drunk comes from.
That's my favourite fact.
Oh, it was brilliant. It was fascinating.
Methanol and ethanol are very, very chemically similar, but there is a like that little difference is why you can't drink petrol.
So yeah, it was brilliant. And then we went into the tasting rooms where we got to taste loads of distilled gins that have been distilled with certain flavours to make our own bespoke gin. So I've got my own. So me and my wife have got our own bespoke gins. So at the end of the day, we got our own bespoke gin in a big bottle. We got a bottle of their own gin. Both. So we've gone home with four bottles of gin. So we are stocked up for Christmas now, and I cannot bloody wait, because gin is my drink of 2018. Bailey's was my drink of 2017. Gin is my drink of 2018.
You're going to get addicted like it's 1824.
Going to get blind drunk.
And what did you call your gin?
So you got to give it your own name. Uh-huh. I was going to call it the Wrestle Talk, but Kate persuaded me not to do that, because I wanted to like tweet it from the account and things like
to
that.
To be fair, you don't have the license.
Well, that was the
that
other side.
That was, I mean,
my wife does work in archives, so she just sort of pushed the glasses up and said, I'm sorry, actually, the archivist said that you can't do that for the licenses. Legally, you're not allowed to do that. But so in the end, I called it Feeling My Age, but the double E was 33.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Credit to my wife. She was the one who came up with the name. And she called hers Ages of Riches, I think, which is from the song Portobello Road. And it was lovely, actually. I've got some asparagus gin within my texture. And fennel, which you pulled you pulled a bit of a face out.
Fennel.
Fennel's brilliant. It's lovely.
No, it is not.
It's delicious.
I tried to give you a fennel once, and even you wouldn't take it, and you like fennel.
I do like fennel. I just don't know how to cook. I know it has, like, use it within a spice, but if you gave me a piece of fennel, my wife is much better.
Give you a whole fennel. I was trying to give you a
whole
fennel.
No, well, that's what I mean. If you gave me a whole fennel, I wouldn't know what to do. I've tried to cook it once, and it was a disaster, and I haven't returned to it since, but I do want to try and get better at cooking fennel.
I just booted it off the balcony in the end. I hate it.
Get out. Right, so we're running out of time, but we do have to open up this present because, quite crucially, we've been sent this gift and we wanted to do it for the Christmas show, but it has a note on there that says, open before Christmas show due to best before date. So we
people
do have to
love it when we get food on the podcast.
So
we
do
eat.
Have to get into this. Okay, so we've got a letter here. hello, three wise men.
It's open.
Oh, the crisps have fallen out. Okay. Hello, three wise men, keeping the Christmas theme. You've sampled some delicious cheeses from the depths of Italy. You've sipped on some of the refreshing beers of Germany. But now the finest of the fine, the creme de la creme of world cuisine. Here's a pork pie and a packet of crisps from Leicester.
Now that's what I'm talking about.
All jokes aside, one, the pork pie is actually delicious. Sorry, Luke. And two, I truly wish you all a very Merry Christmas from The Limit, Joshua Linnett. P.S. The crisps are supposed to be crunchy, so you don't have to cook these first.
Which is obviously a pun when we tried to eat dry pasta from the previous one, because someone opened up the box upside down and we didn't see the letter. Thank you so much for sending that one. Oh yeah, the best before is, although actually we'd have opened that because we're recording it on the 20th, so that actually would have been fine to open up.
Oh yes. The Christmas Eve episode, the Christmas Day episode on Christmas Day.
Absolutely. Well, thank you very much for sending that across, and thank you so much for your lovely letter.
I love how this is our contribution to cuisine.
It's the pork.
The Italian food, the lovely German dried cured meat, and then we've got a crisp packet and a pork pie from England. And does it say that's the one I'm most excited about?
Oh, isn't it just? This is an award winning brand, 100% British pork. I do miss a pork pie. Yeah,
it's always time to prolapse.
And I just want to put out here, you know, because I am vegetarian now. We put out a call on the last episode to our connection to Greg's about putting more vegetarian flavors in their sandwiches. Our connection has not got back to me yet, so he's starting to slip down in my favorite writers list.
In the WrestleTykes,
because he's not responded to any of my requests. And actually, has not even acknowledged that I've made a request. So you're losing your place, man. You need to step up your game.
We've got to do these iTunes reviews because we've set them up, but I also just want to say,
it wouldn't be like us to set something up and then not deliver.
Before we get out of here, I must say that a lot of people mistook Andy Datson's name for Randy Datson.
We just want to say, keep doing that.
Yes, yeah, keep calling him Andy Randy Datson. Because if you're an American listener, you're like, oh, Randy, that's a pretty common name. Randy Orton, Randy Newman. Over here, if you've watched any Austin Powers movie, you're making me Randy. It's a term for horniness. If someone's horny, they are Randy.
The feeling that you felt when Ollie Davis read out his poem last week, that is Randy. And it was all honest mistakes as well. It was no one doing it maliciously. Everyone just thought you were saying, get out of here, Randy.
Yeah. Get out, Randy Datson. You're so Randy down there.
Randy Datson.
Randy Datson. So we keep whispering that to him.
Randy Datson.
If you only listen to the podcast, go and watch the news episode from last Friday, because we all did a performance of TLC's Waterfalls.
Not that we're going to make any money off of that video, but still, go watch it regardless.
Yeah, we took the hit because we thought that was the one time artistry has come up over copyright claims.
Yeah.
So all the money for that video, in the spirit of Christmas, we are donating to the TLC copyright holders.
To Universal.
Sony Entertainment.
Sony Entertainment. There you go, Sony.
Okay.
Merry Christmas.
iTunes reviews. We will reluctantly read out your reviews if you write them. And they've got to be 5 stars. Thank you, Dan Roshi. He writes, love these guys. I've listened to their YouTube channel for the last few years and they are fantastic. It was great when it was just Ollie. I know, the good old days. But the expansion of the channel since then has really worked and is much deserved. Thank you, Wrestle Talk.
Oh, yes. Thank you very much to you, sir.
And you are awesome, Owo, says, love it. I love it because it is about wrestling.
Oh, well, Easily pleased, man.
Not a butthurt podcast host writes, top lads, top podcast. Not just my favourite wrestling podcast, it's my favourite podcast to listen to while working.
There are so many other better ones out there, but thank you so much for your kind comments.
Consistent from Gully Sands. No thing good, just great from Lilo Lub, thank you. And let's see if there's any funny short ones. There aren't.
Great radio. This is why there are better podcasts out there.
So, they're all just so wrong. A lot of people saying consistent, but thank you everyone who wrote those reviews back in June.
Yeah.
And that is why we need you all to start writing reviews again.
Is that the latest review? Is from June?
Oh, it's sporadic. So, 31st of October, 20th of October, 12th of September. This is by most recent.
So, we're blaming iTunes algorithm.
For what? 15th of August?
Well,
August,
you said you've got them sorted by most recent, but they are sporadic dates. So you're blaming...
No. I'm saying people just aren't rating us as much as they once were when we read out their reviews.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Sorry. Well, so to answer my question, that was the latest review was in August.
31st of October. But then there's big gaps between.
Right, I see what you're saying.
So leave a review. We'll try and read it out, folks.
Yeah.
If you've already left a review, just open up a new account and leave another review. I don't think you can do it twice.
Yeah, absolutely. Just do it again, mate. It's fine. But that is all we've got time for on today's show. Thank you very much for listening. We're going to be back tomorrow with SmackDown, which might actually have that Naomi versus Mandy Rose match that was promised to us last week and not delivered.
Change.
Will we see Triple H and Stephanie and Shane and Vince on SmackDown tonight? We'll find out what the next step of change really is. Take care. I love you. Goodbye.
Fickle.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.